Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you so much for making this possible. And we love your glorious promises, Lord, for the days to come. And we're so looking forward to this great revival that you have planned. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to talk to you about the Great Restoration and Revival. First, I'm going to share with you Tommy Hicks's revelation back in 1961, which is just wonderful. This is a powerful vision, Tommy said, given to American preacher Tommy Hicks, who was a major figure in the 1954 Argentina revival. A vision of the body of Christ in the end times ministry. He goes on to say, my message begins July 25th and about 2:30 in the morning at Winnipeg, Canada. I had hardly fallen asleep when the vision and the revelation that God gave me came before me. The vision came three times, exactly in detail. The morning of July the 25th, 1961, I was so stirred and so moved by the revelation that this has changed my complete outlook upon the body of Christ and upon the end times ministries. The greatest thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever been given lies straight ahead. It is so hard to help men and women to realize and understand the thing that God is trying to give His people in the end times. I received a letter several weeks ago from one of our native evangelists down in Africa, down in Nairobi. This man and his wife were on their way to Tanganyika. They could neither read nor could they write, but we had been supporting them for over 2 years. And as they entered into the territory of Tanganyika, they came across a small village. The entire village was evacuating because of a plague that had hit the village. He came across people or natives who were weeping, and he asked them what was wrong. And they told him of their mother and father who had suddenly died, and they had been dead for 3 days. They had to leave. They were afraid to go in. They were leaving them in the cottage. He turned and asked them where they were. They pointed to the hut. And he asked them to go with him, but they refused. They were just afraid to go. The native and his wife went to this little cottage and entered where the man and woman had been dead for 3 days. He simply stretched forth his hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and spoke the man's name and the woman's name, and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to come back into your bodies. Instantaneously, these two heathen people, who had never known Jesus Christ as their Savior, sat up and immediately began to praise God. The Spirit and power of God came into the life of those people. To us, that may seem strange and a phenomenon, but that is the beginning of these end-time ministries. Well, I talked to a sister myself. I know that this is going to be commonplace in the days to come. I talked to her on 3-6-25, whose husband had been dead for 8.5 months. When I called him back, in the name of Jesus, and by the grace of God, he came to her in her kitchen. And, of course, he stayed alive at that time. So, in another case, a husband, a wife, and children had been killed by Satanists, as was witnessed by Eve and my angel. They both gave me the testimony. And Eve wrote all this down. And I called them back, and all immediately returned by God's grace. I want to say that God can use a donkey. As Tommy's pointing out here, ignorant people, you know, people that, don't read or write even, you know. He can use anybody, and he loves using the weak in order to show his strength. Back to the revelation here. God is going to take the do-nothings, the nobodies, the unheard of, the no accounts. He is going to take every man and every woman, and he is going to give them this outpouring of the Spirit of God in the book of Acts. We read that in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I wonder if we realize what God meant when he said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I do not think I fully realized, nor could I understand the fullness of it. And then I read from the book of Joel, Be glad, then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain. That's Joel 2 and 23. He is going to give to his people in these last days a double portion of the power of God. As the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself in a great high distance. Where I was, I do not know, but I was looking down upon the earth, and suddenly the whole earth came into my view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue, came before my sight from the east and the west, the north and the south. I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in, and I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the great sight before me. And at that moment, when the world came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. And as the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downward, and I was facing the north. Suddenly I beheld what looked like a great giant. And as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great. His feet seemed to reach to the north pole and his head to the south. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. Well, I believe that's meaning a great corporate body of saints. Okay, as we go on. I could not even begin to understand whether this was a mountain or a giant, but as I watched, I suddenly beheld a great giant. I could see his head was struggling for life. He wanted to live, but his body was covered with debris from head to foot. I believe this represents sin and false doctrines and all the things that God's people have trouble with. All right. And at times this great giant would move his body and act as though it would even raise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. I believe these are demons. Hideous creatures would run away from this giant, and when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand towards heaven, and then it lifted its other hand, I would say, praising the Lord. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness of the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. And as he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him. And he began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord. And as he raised his hands, they went even unto the clouds. Suddenly every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver. I would say silver represents being purified through heavenly fire in this case. I have even most beautiful silver I have ever known. As I watched this phenomenon, it was so great I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it, and I cried unto the Lord, and I said, O Lord, what is the meaning of this? And I felt as if I was actually in the Spirit, and I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. And from those clouds, suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon this mighty giant. Well, I believe light represents truth, okay, a purity. And slowly, slowly, this giant began to melt. He began to sink itself into the very earth itself. And as he melted, I think this is talking about bearing the cross, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. And as I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands, and they were praising the Lord. At that very moment, there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes towards the heavens, and suddenly I saw a figure in white, in glistening white, the most glorious thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. I did not see the face, but somehow I knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stretched forth his hand, and as he did, he would stretch it forth to one, and to another, and to another, and as he stretched forth his hand upon the nations and the people of the world, men and women, as he pointed toward them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hands into them, and a mighty anointing of God came upon them. That's the latter rain. That's how he said he was going to come, as the latter rain, right? And those people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched it. It seemed it went into days and weeks and months. And I beheld this Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand. But there was a tragedy. There were many people, as he stretched forth his hand, who refused the anointing of God, as they are today, by the way, and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt would certainly receive the call of God. But as he stretched forth his hand toward this one and towards that one, they simply bowed their head and began to back away. And each of those that seemed to bow down and back away seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seemed to swallow them everywhere. I believe this is the faction movement and the falling away that we have seen. As I was bewildered, I watched it. But these people that he had anointed, hundreds of thousands of people, all over the world, in Africa, England, Russia, China, America, all over the world, the anointing of God was upon these people as they went forward in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and women as they went forth. They were ditch diggers, they were washerwomen, they were rich men, they were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness and blindness and deafness. As the Lord stretched forth to give them this anointing, they became well, they became healed, and they went forth exactly as the Lord did. And this is the miracle of it. This is the glorious miracle of it. It seemed as if there was this same liquid fire in their hands. Those people would stretch forth their hand and say, "According to my word, be thou made whole." These people continued in this mighty end-time ministry. I did not fully realize what it was, and I looked to the Lord and said, "What is the meaning of this?" And he said, "This is that which I will do in the last days. I will restore all that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, I will restore all that they have destroyed. This is my people in the end times, who will go forth. And as a mighty army shall they sweep over the face of the earth." As I was at this great height, I could behold the whole world, and I watched these people as they were going to and fro over the face of the earth. Suddenly there was a man in Africa, and in a moment he was transported by the Spirit of God, and perhaps he was in Russia or China or America or some other place, and vice versa. All over the world, these people went, and they came through fire, through pestilence, and through famine. Neither fire nor persecution, nothing seemed to stop them. Angry mobs came to them with swords and guns. And like Jesus, they passed through the multitudes, and they could not find them. But they went forth in the name of the Lord. And everywhere they stretched forth their hands, the sick were healed, the blind eyes were opened. There was not a long prayer, and after I had reviewed the vision many times in my mind, I thought about it many times, and I realized that I never saw a church, and I never saw or heard a denomination. But these people were going in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. As they marched forth in everything they did as the ministry of Christ in the end times, these people were ministering to the multitudes over the face of the earth. Tens of thousands, even millions, seemed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as these people stood forth and gave the message of the kingdom and of the coming kingdom. And in this last hour, it was so glorious, but it seemed as though there were those who rebelled, and they would become angry, and they tried to attack those workers who were giving the message. Well, that's just as it was in Jesus's day, and it'll be that way in this day, and it has been that way in this day. God is going to give the world a demonstration of this last hour that the world has never known. These men and women were all walks of life. Degrees will mean nothing. I saw these workers as they were going over the face of the earth. When one would stumble and fall, another would come and pick him up. And there were no big I's and little U's, but every mountain was brought low and every valley was exalted. And they seemed to have one thing in common. There was a divine love that seemed to flow forth from these people as they worked together and as they lived together. It was the most glorious sight I have ever known. Jesus Christ was the theme of their life. They continued, and it seemed days went by as I stood and beheld this sight. I could only cry, and sometimes I laughed. It was so wonderful as these people went through the face of the earth, whole earth, bringing forth in this last end time. And as I watched from the very heaven itself, there were times when great deluges of this liquid light seemed to fall upon great congregations, and they would lift up their hands and seemingly praise God for hours and even days as the Spirit of God came upon them. God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And that's exactly this thing. And to every man and woman that received this power and anointing of God, the miracles were without end. We have talked about miracles. We have talked about signs and wonders. But I could not help but weep as I read again this morning at 4 o'clock the letter from our native workers. This is only the evidence of the beginning for one man, a do-nothing and a unheard-of, who would go and stretch forth his hands and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to flow into your body. I dropped to my knees and began to pray again. And I said, Lord, I know that this time is coming soon. And then again, as these people were going about the face of the earth, a great persecution seemed to come from every angle. Most of that usually comes from religious people who were trying to protect what they've stood for. Suddenly there was another great clap of thunder that seemed to resound around the world, and I heard again the voice that seemed to speak, Now this is my people. This is my beloved bride. In Revelation, we see that the bride in her lampros, in other words, liquid light garment, who was been doing miracles all over the world, Revelation 19 and 7. Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and let us give the glory unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright, that's lampros, and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Well, John the Baptist saw Jesus' first fruits disciples, and he called them the bride. For he said, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And this bride went forth to do miracles in the Gospels and in Acts, and to pass this anointing on to the rest of the church. And it will be that way, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. So then in Revelation, we see the rest of the church in a white or leukos garment, who are invited to the marriage, Revelation 19 and 14. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white, again that's leukos, and pure. And below we will see in Tommy's revelation the dead in Christ rising to be joined with them at the end of the seven-year tribulation. He went on, And when the voice spoke, I looked upon the earth, and I could see the lakes and the mountains. The graves were opened, and people from all over the world, the saints of all ages, seemed to be rising. So the dead in Christ will rise first, right? And as they rose from the grave, suddenly all these people came from every direction, from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and they seemed to be forming again this giant body. As the dead in Christ seemed to be arising first, I could hardly comprehend it. It was so marvelous. It was so far beyond anything I could ever dream or think of. But as this body suddenly began to form and take shape again, it was in the form of this mighty giant. But this time, it was different. It was arrayed in the most beautiful, gorgeous white. Well, in Revelation 19 and 14, this is the white or the leucos garments of the church, right? Its garments were without spot or wrinkle as its body began to form, and the people of all ages seemed to be gathered into this body, and slowly, slowly, as it began to form up into the very heavens, suddenly from the heavens above the Lord Jesus came and became the head. Well, now Jesus is the head of the bride, and John said that was Jerusalem, was the bride. And just as David, as a type of the man-child reformers, was head of the bride, Jerusalem, in this way, Jesus and David were also the head of the rest of the body of Israel. So what we're doing is we're seeing the picture of Israel and its makeup, in type here. The Lord is redoing that history, the things that have been are the things that shall be. So in this way, Jesus and David were also the head of the rest of the body of Israel, a type of the church. So we see this same relationship of Esther and the bride, head of the body of Israel, and the Shulamite in Song of Solomon as the bride, head of Israel. I heard another clap of thunder that said, "This is my beloved bride for whom I have waited. She will come forth even tried by fire. This is she that I have loved from the beginning of time." As I watched, my eyes suddenly turned to the far north, and I saw destruction of men and women in anguish and crying out, and buildings in destruction. Then I heard again the fourth voice that said, "Now is my wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth." Well, we know that the day of the Lord's wrath upon those who persecuted God's people is to come forth at that time. From the ends of the whole world, the wrath of God seemed to be poured out, and it seemed that there were great vials of God's wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. Yes, that's true. The seals and the trumps of the tribulation were followed by the vials of wrath in the day of the Lord, which is an eighth day. It's not the 7 days. It's an eighth day. There are 7 years before the bride and church are caught up, followed by the year of wrath on the wicked who persecuted them and killed them. Isaiah 34 and 8 says, "For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion." I can remember it, though it happened a moment ago. I shook and trembled as I beheld the awful sight of seeing the cities and whole nations going down into destruction. I could hear the weeping and the wailing. I could hear people crying. They seemed to cry as they went into caves, but the caves in the mountains opened up. They leaped into the water, but the water would not drown them. There was nothing that could destroy them. They were wanting to take their lives, but they could not. They had to go through this torment and torture. Then again, I turned my eyes to this glorious sight, this body arrayed in beautiful white, shining garments. Slowly, slowly, it began to lift from the earth. As it did, I awoke. Well, this is the catching up of the Lampros bride and the white church body at the end of the tribulation before the great and terrible day of the Lord. What a sight I had beheld. I had seen the end time ministries, the last hour, again on July 27th at 2:30 in the morning, the same revelation, the same vision came again exactly as it did before. My life has been changed as I realize that we are living in that end time. For all over the world, God is anointing men and women with this ministry. It will not be doctrine. It will not be a churchianity. It is going to be Jesus Christ. They will give forth the word of the Lord. I heard it said so many times in the vision, and according to my word, it shall be done, quote unquote. Well, this is another revelation that's very unusual and awesome. And we called it Joel's Restoration Begins. This was given to Sandy Shaw, 2012. In this dream, we were in a place that looked like Tahlequah, Oklahoma, but it was bigger and prettier. It was really beautiful. In Cherokee, Tahlequah means just two, and two is enough. Just as Jesus sent out the disciples and the 72 by two, so it will be in our day when Jesus in the man-child ministers will send out the two witnesses in the great revival. There were a lot of people from UBM there, not just local, but from all over. The people there were like-minded. There were many ages, from babies all the way up to old men. There was singing and praying and eating and all kinds of fellowship, and the kids were playing. It was like in a big meadow with a lot of shade trees. There was just a oneness there. It was peaceful and really beautiful. The sun felt so good. Then it started to rain while the sun was still shining. And the rain lasted only a few seconds before it began to pour like a waterfall. It was just a steady flowing stream of water hitting everyone there, from the babies to the oldest. Well, I believe a renewal of the former rain upon the saints, and then the beginning of the latter rain upon the David Reformer ministries before it's given to the saints, just as Joel spoke of, and the Gospels show in type. Joel 2 and 22 says, "Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." Well, my note is that Hosea 6 and 3, where he, that is the Lord, will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. The Lord will come as the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not in the air or in a rapture of the church at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? But back to Joel and verse 24. "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil." In other words, I believe a great revival of very anointed people. "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, representing the curse on God's people. My great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. She said, everyone was feeling this water, and it was filling us up. It was freshness, newness, and it didn't feel like any other kind of anointing one has ever felt before. We knew that we knew it was there to stay. Everyone had their faces up to the water, to the anointing, feeling the water. And I'm not doing it justice in explaining how it felt, how it was filling us up, and how we all felt. Even to say walking on a cloud is not the right words, but I don't know any other words. I saw people walking on stones and stickers on the ground, and we were barefoot, and it didn't hurt us, like we didn't feel it. I believe this is representing walking above the curses of this world. That's what the thorns represented, with no hurt. We knew that we knew our entire body was anointed of God. We knew what we were doing was ordained of God, and we were just doing it. There were no questions. I just can't explain the oneness or the way our hands felt, like they were not our hands, but the Lord's hands. Each step was ordained of the Lord. We knew that nothing could take away what God had given to us. We were being completely used by Him. It was like walking or moving on clouds. When everyone was filled, that's when we heard God tell us, okay, get busy. We're going to work now. I believe that's the beginning of the spread of the revival. And here's a Charlie Smith revelation on 12-12-12. And we called it Revival Beginning at UBM. Well, notice the date, 12-12-12, the fullness of the elect, right? In the early hours of the morning, the Lord gave me this dream. In it, suddenly I appeared in a large room where I saw Brother David, I believe representing the David Manchild Reformers, and about 10 or 12 brethren standing around. So I asked the Lord if this was 12, and got a yes, which fits with Jesus and his 12. When revival began then. I knew David, but his features had changed some. I mean, he really looked great. I could really see God in the man like I never had before. David here, I believe, is a type of the man-child reformers who will start this revival, just as Jesus, the son of David, did in his time. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And I knew him, but the other brethren I did not recognize, although I really did know who they were. As I stood looking, a man came over to me, and he was the Lord. The brethren were being taught how to minister to the needs of the people. Brother David walked across the room to pray for a man who came for healing. And he stood before the man and said, "Be healed." And as the man was healed instantly, David turned and walked back to the other side of the room. Well, God's power is made perfect in man's weakness so that no flesh can glory. That's been one of the messages through all of this revelation, you know. The brethren, as well as I, were amazed that the man was healed, and we started praising God and giving thanks. As we rejoiced, another man came forward for healing who was blind. And one of the brethren came forth and laid hands on the man's head, saying, "Receive your sight." And the man cried out, "I'm healed and I can see." Other people in the room who were in need came forth immediately, some with missing or deformed limbs, twisted bodies, crippled, all such of humanity that was so pitiful. They came up, and every one of them was healed instantly. I said, "Oh God, how is it that everyone was healed instantly, so fast, so easily? Some had hands laid on them, and others did not, but they were all healed." The Lord smiled, and he said, "You could not see." Then the Lord opened my spiritual eyes and said, "Now look." And he showed me again the part where David said to the man, "Be healed." This time I could see the words, "Be healed," coming out of David's mouth like a mist and entering into the man. And as the word went into the man, he was instantly healed. I received a few scriptures that go with this dream, Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And Jeremiah 1:12, "I watch over my word to perform it." Ezekiel 12:25, "For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed." And Romans 10:8, "The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart." And I was still wondering about the mist that I saw, and I got John 6:63. "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." So I understood that, like Jesus spoke the word, and it came to pass, so these brethren operated on that level. The scene changed, and we were in a different, larger room. David and about 100 or more other brethren were gathered together. The brethren were being taught how to minister and were then sent forth. They went forth preaching the word and healing the sick everywhere. The brethren covered much of this area, and you couldn't go anywhere without seeing them. So, well, I would say many man-child ministers are coming here, as they are all over the world, and they will send forth disciples as Jesus did. The history will repeat, but on a larger scale, as the Lord told me years ago. And then the scene quickly changed again, and we were at another place outside, and it was a large grassy area with parking nearby. But I don't know where it was. Brother David and maybe as many as 500 brethren this time were gathered together, and crowds of people were coming from everywhere. It looked like thousands or even hundreds of thousands were coming The meetings ran day and night. One night, all of the people saw a pillar of fire burning in our midst. They were being drawn by the Lord, and it was a holy move of God. So many saints were now coming together. And again, the scene quickly changed, and I was lifted up, looking down on the earth, and I saw the saints running through all the earth, spreading the gospel, and the light was shining all over the earth. I think what I saw was a revival to prepare the saints to manifest sons of God in the earth and to do the will of the Father. I also believe that this is a revival for the man-child, because in every one of those scenes where David and the brethren were gathered, they were being taught how to minister the word and heal the sick. And I noticed that everything was on a higher level than what we're used to now. They didn't spend a lot of time and use a lot of words when they prayed. They just commanded it, and it was immediately done. And when they gave the gospel, they didn't have to stand there for hours trying to nail down a point. It was just like the glory of the Lord fell. And when these brethren got around people out there or out here on the streets to witness, the glory of the Lord was so strong that they just automatically fell down and cried, "Save me." This was definitely a sign to us all that God's getting ready to do something wonderful here. I'm just like my brothers and sisters here. I want to be a part of it because I know God's going to do a fantastic work here, and it's going to spread worldwide because I saw the lights cover the whole earth. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I know it will. Amen. Well, we are informed by the Lord in many more dreams and scriptures that there is coming a great revival here and across the country and the world. And it will be in the midst of darkness and turmoil, and many will come out of the darkness. Isaiah 60:1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant, and thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee." Well, we have a part in this. Obviously, the principalities and powers of darkness have been put under our feet, but we must fight the good fight of the faith and cast them down from over UBM, this area, the U.S., and many other countries. Luke 10:18 says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So let us have fasting and prayer and praise meetings and confess our sins and cast down these powers. Let us decree freedom from bondage and darkness. I receive this Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and light shall shine upon thy ways. And when they cast thee down, thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And the humble person he will save. He will deliver even him that is not innocent. Yea, he shall be delivered through the cleanness of thy hands. And this is a revelation here that Prophet Philip shared this vision with us. And we called it what he called it, the spearheading of the man-child ministry. Philip said, I have prayed for 3 days now for the Holy Father's will in this matter of sharing the vision I received during a meeting with David as the speaker in Phoenix. I believe Phoenix is a type of resurrection life. I had never seen Philip before this. This is the first time I'd ever seen him. I am permitted to share, he said, the following. As I prayed with David at the start of the meeting, I saw the room change into a stadium filled with people, and David was at the podium shouting through a microphone that was in the shape of a shofar. He wore a silver yarmulke that glowed as he spoke, and from above it came a white golden light pouring down from the sky as a beam of glory, growing brighter with each outpouring. From David's clothing came the same glory, lights pouring through the zitzit on his garment, flowing like fingers through the people. They touched the forehead and were grabbed by the right hand of people who became pregnant. I believe this represents being pregnant with Christ. And began shouting as they were covered in glory. And this is the vision I had at the meeting. The Holy Father says that David would know its meaning, if not now, very soon. Well, all glory to God. He chooses the weak to show this. He can speak through a donkey, right? Months after that meeting, we received this from Philip. Holy Yahweh is forming this ministry into his image to spearhead the man-child ministry, birthing and delivery to the world. Amen. He has given this to me in a mighty vision that ran and continued for 3 nights, along with some other things that I can't say just yet. In short, brethren, the white golden light pouring down from the sky as a beam of glory will flow through obedient servants in whom Christ is manifested through the latter rain and belief in the truth. It will flow first through the man-child and then through the witnesses to the church at large. Well, this light is pouring down from the sky upon the giant body of Christ in Tommy Hicks's revelation, wasn't it? Bunch of confirmations here. Awesome, awesome words. Well, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We know this awesome revival is coming, and we're so excited. We just know that you're going to do a great work, and everybody will know it's you, because men cannot do what you're about to do. And of course, we'll be coming to the end of man's works and the beginning of God's mighty works, mighty strength and mighty power. Lord, we give praise and glory unto you. You are our awesome Savior, and we thank you so much for drawing us unto you and bringing us to the point of these revelations, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again. Be blessed.